We enter the final chapter of Romans today on Sound Doctrine. Here's a preview.
Now we go on to Romans 16, which is a P.S. and his personal greetings with great affections to those that were in ministry with him and there in Rome. It's like reading someone's personal diary. I mean, we're getting really personal because he gave us this. He put it in the Word so we could see Paul's heart, so we could hear his heart, so we can see what's going on with women in ministry. It's just an open book for us.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
There's a great deal of confusion today when it comes to a woman's role in ministry in the church. Certainly doesn't help matters as we look at how women have been treated in the past and into the present. So now more than ever, we need to hear God's truth about women in ministry. And that's what we find in Romans chapter 16. Join Pastor Jeff Johnson there now for Sound Doctrine as we put the finishing touches here on our series in the book of Romans.
Romans chapter 16 this morning, as we're really finishing. Actually, we finished it last week, but we're just like, this is a postscript, you know. This is the signing off of Paul to his Roman epistle, and a very interesting chapter. We're going to be talking about women in ministry, and that's exactly why we read the proverb, the virtuous woman, this morning. Here Paul discusses women in ministry. Now, women, you guys are doing it. As far as around here, you guys are awesome. And it's neat to see so many women in ministry. Here Paul is talking about just that. But for thousands of years, women have been oppressed. Women have been sneered at. There has been no position in society for women. And you might say they're a little bit higher than a dog or an animal. For so many thousands of years. There was an interesting prayer that the Lord gave us in the Word, and it was from a Pharisee. And the Pharisee prayed out to God, "Thank you, God, that I wasn't born a woman." Wow. And then Jesus came. Wow, what a change. Paul gets saved. Jesus came, Paul gets saved. And all of a sudden, we see women being liberated. And they're becoming joint heirs in ministry with men. Really, liberation was brought through Jesus Christ and written down and brought to us even this morning through Paul the Apostle. Continues to liberate women in a big way. And I love it because so needed for ministry. Yet, today's woman's status is still confusing. Women's lib movement, taking on the masculine roles, continues the battle of the sexes, so to speak. And yet, what gets to me is the lack of understanding what God says with women in ministry. It continues the confusion in the church, not just in our society. That's not so, you know, disconcerting. That doesn't trouble me as much as it's still going on in the church. There's confusion. In fact, when you really think about it, one of the most asked questions, top 10, you'd put them right there with pastor's perspective. One of the top 10 questions is, what's a woman's, you know, place in ministry? It's always asked. Well, Paul's going to answer that this morning. We know God's word is clear about his authority structure that he has set up in the home, in the church, in the family. I mean, it's very clear in society. for men and women. In fact, it's in first, just jot this down, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul mentions this. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So really, when you look at it broke down, you see you got God, you got Christ, you got the man, you got the woman, and you got the children. So who's in right in the middle? Stuck in the middle is the man. There's something here. I think this is, spiritually speaking, the man is in a, I think, a key position in the home, in the church. He's the high priest of the home. He's the prophet of the home. And he is, I believe, to communicate the things to God in the home. A very key person in the home to do that in this role that he has. And this was brought home as a reality to me many years back when my youngest daughter and I was gone a lot. I was gone way too much. I was on a lot of mission excursions, and I learned a lesson with this, that my wife would give a little Bible study to our youngest daughter and then say, okay, now let's pray for Daddy and for what's going on. And my daughter this one night just said, no, I don't want to pray. I mean, really mean. And she said, what's wrong? And she says, I don't see God and I don't see Daddy. And you know, when that got back to me, it really spoke to me. That position in the home speaks a lot to a child. I don't see God, and I don't see Daddy. Oh, look what the enemy's trying to do to the home today. Remove the man out of the home. Do you think he knows what he's doing? Yeah, he knows what he's doing, trying to get victories in those kids' hearts, spiritually speaking, that they won't seek after the Lord. They won't have anybody to lead them and guide them and pray over them and minister to them. So what's the women's role in ministry? If the man's role is very strong in the spiritual aspects to the home, what's the women's role in ministry? Well, let's see her limits first. Let's go there, all right? And the limits come out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34, Paul, writing again, he says this, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. So you say, well, what's that all about, you know, that a woman cannot speak? Well, you got to understand, in Corinth, in their synagogues, they had the men downstairs. They separated the men from the women. That was the first mistake. But they had the men downstairs, the women upstairs, and when the rabbi went off and said things and the women missed it, didn't get it, they yelled out to their husbands, say, honey, what did he say? I didn't understand what he said. Explain it. Explain it to me, you know? And, you know, there's a lot of confusion in the church. So it's best just to kind of say, okay, gals, just wait. I know it's hard. Get home, ask your husband, let your husband give you an answer there. And it would be less confusion. That's why Paul stuck this in here. And yet, Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 11:5, put that one down. Don't forget this one. He says, but every woman that prays and prophesies. So the women were allowed to pray in church and prophesy in church and give a word of comfort and exhortation. So it wasn't so limited. In Timothy and Titus, interesting, these two young pastors, Paul writes each of them letters. And he writes in the letters, well, let the women teach the younger women, the older women teach the younger ones, and let them oversee the home. That's very important, that the mothers take care of the home, and that they can teach in Sunday school, they can teach the children. And also, there are two things that you definitely cannot do. And all of a sudden, you know, you're saying, okay, what is that? Well, if you turn over, you don't have to turn there. If you want to, you can. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Two things in one verse here. Write it down. 1 Timothy 2:12. He simply says to Timothy, and speaking to all the women in the ministry, but I suffer not a woman to teach. When he says teacher, he's speaking of men, because he's already said it's okay to teach younger women and the children. So, but he's saying to teach men, nor, he adds, to usurp authority over a man. So there's two things a woman definitely cannot do. And that is, number one, she cannot, teach men or usurp authority over men. Why? Because it causes problems. Because she's out of God's authority structure. Let me just share with you Isaiah, what Isaiah says about this. The Lord, through Isaiah, gives us this scripture in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. Listen to what the word of the Lord says in Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, God says, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. An interesting sidelight to the oversight of women. For a woman to be a pastor of a church, and I know this is very controversial, or the head of a home, is totally against the authority structure that God has set up within the church and within the home. He did it from the very beginning in Genesis. So it's not that he's throwing something new into the mix. It's something that has always been. So it should once and for all answer that question. But don't come to me after the service. It's his idea. Talk it over with him. Search the scriptures and see what you see in there, what he's saying. That's so important. But everything else in ministry is open for the women to get involved. Everything else. With this in mind, we finished Romans chapter 15. Now we go on to Romans 16, which is a P.S., and his personal greetings with great affections to those that were in ministry with him and there in Rome. It's like reading someone's personal diary. I mean, we're getting really personal because he gave us this. He put it in the Word so we could see Paul's heart, so we could hear his heart, so we can see what's going on with women in ministry. It's just an open book for us. So we learn that Paul wasn't just a soul winner. He was a friend maker. He had all kinds of brothers and sisters in ministry that he loved dearly and that he wanted to minister to and write to and share about. It's really unlike high school. Remember, high school is something that I think the kids don't get it, but, they saw Grease, we'll be together forever, No, you won't. Anybody find that out? We were ripped off, man, No, that's just the truth. That's just the way it is. High school is not what it's all about. Oh, you make some friends. And sometimes lifelong friends, but it's not what the cohesiveness of what it's all about. What it's all about is coming to know the Lord, getting involved in a church, being a part of a ministry. And yet now you got family. That's forever. In the real true sense of the word, forever. We come often to eat together, to pray together, to minister together. We look at the bulletin. Look at how many times we come together. And just, a few days, there's many things going on, many things. You can be down here all week long and get a Bible study and just can't make your tent down here, camp out and just take it in, and it's here. And so we see each other, we pray with each other, we go through things with each other, we counsel one another, we minister to one another. And it's just a family that's getting stronger and stronger and just breathing in life and loving it. And it's a blessing. So Paul, writing to the family of God, notice how he's going to be using one sentence to sum up some of their lives. Interesting. And these were humble servants. These were ministers. Now, you know what the word minister means? It means a servant. He who will be the greatest of you all, let him be the servant of all. That's a minister. He serves. He ministers. And so these are who he's writing to. Over in Malachi 3:16, that was the last book of the Old Testament. In Malachi 3:16, he says, "And they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another." And man, that's this fear of the Lord. A guy at last service asked me, "What does fear mean? Does it mean fear, be afraid of?" And I said, No. It's a whole different word in the scriptures. And the word fear, a fear of the Lord, is a reverence, is stand in awe of him. Those that love the Lord, who stand in awe of him and are just blown away by him, spoke often one to another about him. That's awesome. You know, because we love him and he's in our midst and we're talking about him all the time, about what he did and what he's doing now and what he's gonna do. And we're all excited because now, for the first time, some of us have found a relationship with the creator of the universe through his son, Jesus Christ. And we know him as Father God. And he's our Father. And he's doing a work in us so he can continue that work through us. So there's this intimacy going on. And it's so exciting. So these are humble servants. And these aren't the ones that you say, "Hey, there's too many chiefs here, not enough Indians." You ever heard that term? It's not a slam on Indians or anything. It's a slam on people, you know, trying to run the show, and there's too many chiefs, too many bosses around, man. Where's the Indian? Where's the servants? No, these are the servants that he's writing to. So Paul wasn't a male chauvinist, okay, like a lot of people put him as or speak of him as, because they see one little verse and they go off and say, "Oh, that guy hated women, man. That's his problem," you know. No, not even near. Verse 1 of chapter 16. That's a little introduction. Now let's get into the meat of it. Paul says, "Personal greetings. I commend unto you," talking to those in Rome, "Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria." So Phoebe, the first commendation is to the sister Phoebe. Again, they're experiencing true liberation. They're mentioned in the scriptures, and they're acknowledged. And here's Paul acknowledging the first one right out of the chute is a woman. And because their ministry was so vital to what God was doing in those days, it is so vital for what God is doing in these days. And it's something that Jesus always had women around him. They were always walking with him and the disciples, taking care of them. Without them there, those guys would have been history. They were more or less holding them up and ministering to them and making sure they had three squares, you know, and kept them moving and blessing them. So he always had women around. Paul chose a woman to deliver his letter to the Romans. And this was taken time as he was there in prison, writing the letter to the Romans. And it was a very important letter, anointed letter, that he needed to get there. This is not a copy he's given to Phoebe. He's not saying, "Well, if you lose this one, I can make another copy." No, this is the real deal. Handed it right over to a woman to go all the way to Rome from Corinth, a very dangerous journey for her to go. But he gave it to her. He gave her endorsement, credentials. She was a deaconess. Deaconess means one that ministers to the church physically and at times spiritually. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul, talking to that young pastor, talks about deacons. And he says there, one who purchases a deacon or wants to be a deacon, wants to serve in the church, chooses a great ministry. And then he goes on to say, it's of a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you want to serve the Lord and be involved in the ministry, being an usherette or being in one of the women's ministries going on, our women's ministry is flourishing and it's just exploding right now. And there's a lot of stuff going on, as you can see in the bulletin. So if you want to be a part of something like this and really get involved, you're doing something really awesome, is what he's saying there. This is in 1 Timothy 3:13. because many of those that wanted to be deacons were going on and became ministers of the gospel and were praying for the sick and taking care of spiritual things. And that's what you're purchasing when you take a step of faith and want to be in women's ministry. According to Acts chapter 6 and 7, deacons helped materially through those two chapters. Some moved on into spiritual opportunities. They were sharing the gospel. They were ministering in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Phoebe is named after the goddess Diana, which is kind of bizarre. But she was a Gentile. She was a heathen woman, a pagan woman, and brought aboard because of her relationship with Christ. Now she's serving in the church, carrying this letter to Rome. And she and other women in ministry, they did many things, visiting the sick, took care of the poor. The older women taught the younger. And it was just, you know, real things are moving out, and the women were being taken care of. So he says, notice this in verse 1, our sister. So again, God's family, the Jews and Gentiles coming together. You got Jewish Christian women and Gentile pagan women coming together. They're all in ministry because of Jesus makes us one, and we're serving the Lord God together, and it's awesome. Now, some of you have asked, how do you become a member here at Calvary Chapel of Downey? Well, becoming a member here is this: if God has led you here and you're receiving from the Lord here, then I would say to you, then this is your place to dig in and to become a servant of the Lord, a minister of the Lord, and get involved in ministry. Don't just be on the sidelines. I mean, it's a bummer on the sidelines. You don't get to get in there and be a part of some real victories, you know, in these various ministries. And you have the bulletin, so many going on, that you have the choice to just get involved. So I would encourage you, if you are here and God's brought you here and you're receiving here, then freely you have received, freely give. And get involved, and God's going to bless you to no end. Become that servant of the Lord. And he's saying, receive this woman, Phoebe, as a servant. You're not receiving her as a pastor. You are not receiving her as an overseer, because that's not what she was. She was just a servant. And she was a godly woman and a succor. Notice verse 2. That you receive her in the Lord as become saints. That you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she hath been a succor of many and of myself. Paul says of me too. I benefited from her ministry. So this word succor, what does that mean? It means a strengthener. She's been a strength to the brothers. As a mother who feeds and cares for her children. That's what we're talking about here. Paul even received a blessing from her ministry. And so it extended not only in her home. She was a blessing. She was the virtuous woman probably. She, you know, just serving the Lord. And not only in her church, she was involved in their church. But now we see she's involved in going to Rome. You never know, girls, where you're going to go. How many of you wanted to go to Rome for a long time? You never know. God might send you to Rome. That happens all the time. We're always sending short team missions out. And so you have many opportunities to go into all the world and to be blessed.
We have been uncovering God's design for women in ministry here today on Sound Doctrine. This is part of Pastor Jeff Johnson's series in Romans. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Log on to sounddoctrineradio.org to purchase the CD. Call 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. We also have a podcast available, and that's available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. You know, it's always a good idea to consider and, if need be, rekindle our devotional life, especially here at the beginning of a new year. And we've got a great Devo to share with you today. You're sure to enjoy. It's been written by Calvary pastors like Skip Heitzig, Joe Foch, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, and more. It's a daily devotional with Calvary Chapel pastors. I know you'll be blessed and encouraged as you start your day hearing from the Lord. Order it now by calling 800-353-7553 or online at sounddoctrineradio.org. And we'd appreciate your support as we kick off another year of delivering sound doctrine through the radio and the internet. As we continue to present God's good news on this station of yours, we look to the Lord to provide. And maybe that provision will come through you. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request, and that is to simply email us. We want to know how the Lord is using sound doctrine in your life. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, that's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, made possible through your generosity. So Father,